Hey y'all, this is Epiphany and welcome to Voice and Vine, a quiet space for the word to grow in you. Come and join me. Today I want to talk about something that's been on my heart. Now, it originated, or the idea really kind of came from like the acronym KISS, or, you know, like Keep It Simple Stupid. I know you've probably heard of that, especially if you work in like corporate America or anything like that, you know, related to processes and stuff. But anyway, I want to talk about keeping it simple, saints. That's you and me. And so this all started when I was reading in the New Testament, the books, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. But it really struck me when I was reading 1 Corinthians 1:17, where Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ will not be emptied of its effect." And when I read that, it really hit home for me. So I have a few degrees. I have a master's degree. I'm in seminary, although I'm on break right now. I've been a registered nurse for like, 12, 13 years now. So like on paper, maybe I'm a little accomplished. I don't know, but I may look together on paper. But the truth is, I stumble over my words sometimes, which you'll probably hear. I overthink what to say a lot, sometimes to the point where it arrests me and keeps me from saying anything at all. I overthink how to say things, especially in places where, you know, you expect like some deep revelation, or you expect like a polished, you know, answer or response, especially in Christian spaces. You know, you kind of want to use the quote unquote right language. And so that's why this verse means so much to me. So here Paul is reminding us that the power of the gospel isn't in how eloquent we sound. It's not in our ability to use a whole bunch of flowery words, theological jargon, or catchy phrases that are like Instagrammable. It's really in the cross. That's where the power of the gospel rests. And it's raw, it's real, and it's the simple truth that Jesus died and he rose again to reconcile us to God. That's where the true power is. And not everyone connects through poetic sermons or deep academic theology. Some do, and some do sometimes, and not all the time. I feel like I'm one of those people. Some people, myself included, just need the truth spoken clearly, no fluff, no filters. But here is when it gets a little bit deeper. So I was reading 2 Corinthians even more recently, and Paul basically says that while it doesn't matter how we speak, it also doesn't matter how we may seem if we're weak for Christ. It's kind of the vibe that I get from it. In verse 6, he says, "Even if I am untrained in public speaking, I am certainly not untrained in knowledge. Indeed, we have in every way made that clear to you in everything." And he's just saying, look, I may not have the polished speech you're looking for, but I know Jesus, and that's what matters. Then he lists all the ways he suffered. He's been whipped, beaten, shipwrecked like 3 times, constantly in danger, you know, been basically backstabbed across by other believers. So he thought. And so in verse 30, he says, "If boasting is necessary, I will boast about my weaknesses." So then we go on to chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians, which is, I feel like, a little bit more famous than, you know, chapter 11. He's talking about that thorn in his flesh. Now, this is like everybody, when they think about Paul, or when they talk about Paul, sometimes people are like, well, I want to know what the thorn was. And it doesn't speak to what the thorn in his side was. We can speculate. A lot of theologians have speculated. But I believe that's the beauty and the ambiguity here, that we don't know. So while you don't want to always read or put yourself in the text as if the word is about you, but here's a place where it is fitting to really think about areas in your life, whether it's a person that feels like a thorn in your side, or just a thing about you that you may not be able to change, or just something you're really working hard to overcome. He's talking about that thorn here, and it's something that kept him humble, and it's something that he begged God 3 times to take away. God didn't do that, though. God's response to Paul was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weaknesses. Therefore, I will gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me." This is Paul saying this. "So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, when I read that, I cannot help but think about my own weaknesses. And so I haven't shared before, I don't think, but I am on the autism spectrum, late diagnosed in my 30s, late 30s. Well, I ain't in my late 30s yet. But anyway, and sometimes I have to ask people to slow down, repeat themselves, or give me more time to process things. And honestly, that really can feel like something I just want to hide or downplay or keep from people. But this passage reminds me, I hope it reminds you, that these are exactly the things that we should boast about. Because if we are going to boast, it should be in the ways that Christ's power shows up in our weaknesses. It's not about presenting a polished, well put together, first date kind of version of yourself out there for people, but it's really letting God's power shine through the cracks. And this makes me think about in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, where God says, "The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The strong should not boast in his strength. The wealthy should not boast in his wealth. But the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things. This is the Lord's declaration." Folks, that's the kind of boasting that actually matters. Now let's talk a little bit about staying in your lane. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about not comparing ourselves to others. And so in verses 12 through 18, he warns us against boasting beyond the measure of what God has called us to do. And he says we shouldn't try to take credit for someone else's work or extend ourselves beyond what God has equipped us for. And that's really where the whole like fake it till you make it thing can really trip us up, because that idea doesn't encourage you to be humble in the Lord. It sets us up to overextend ourselves, to overcommit, and just really relying on our own strength instead of the strength of God. And one of my favorite proverbs, the book of or chapter 27 is my favorite chapter in all of Proverbs because it addresses so many topics. I encourage you to read it. But Proverbs 27 verse 2 says, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." Proverbs 25 verses 6 through 7 add, "Don't boast about yourself before the king, and don't stand in the place of the great, for it is better for him to say to you, 'Come up here,' than to demote you in plain view of a noble." Jesus echoes this in Luke 14, verses 7 through 14. And here he's painting this picture, and to kind of keep it simple, he's talking about the lowest place at the table, like us taking the lowest place at the table and letting God be the one to lift you up. Don't lift yourselves up. Don't think of yourselves higher than you are. Because God will do that for you in his time. And so when we try to fake it till we make it, we're essentially stepping outside of what God has called us to do. And we're really trying to fill shoes that aren't even ours to begin with. And like I said, it can lead to like a lot of things, and burnout, frustration, and empty boasting is one of them. Instead, we need to boast in the ways God's power shows up when we're weak, not in our carefully curated words and personas. Because the truth is, the gospel isn't about us. It's about him. And the less we get in the way, in our own way, the clearer the message becomes. And I can just say, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Moses. One day I will talk about it, but mainly because in the very beginning, you know, he's making excuses like, you know, me, God, you want me? I can't do this. Like, my tongue is twisted and it's not eloquent. You know, like, I can't speak. And for all the people who may, you know, have different abilities, or as some people call disabilities, even like myself, who may feel weak, and, you know, maybe asking for accommodations at work or in school, I want to encourage you, God gave Moses accommodations. That is, like, you see it very early in the book. God gave Moses accommodations, and that looked like his brother Aaron to speak for him. So when you're reading the plagues, you see, like, the first few plagues, Aaron, you know, God is talking to Moses, and Moses is telling Aaron what God told him to tell him. And then later in the plagues, I perceive it as Moses' confidence must have built, because you don't see God telling him to tell Moses. Nonetheless, I'm saying all that to say, God didn't ask Moses to fix his speech before he called him to speak and lead the people. Okay. He didn't wait for David to grow up before anointing him king. And he didn't wait for the woman at the well to be fully healed before she ran and told her village about Jesus. He will use exactly what you have, what he's equipped you for, what he's equipped you with, what you're already carrying, even if it feels small to you, even if it's like wrapped in your own insecurities. Because the truth of the gospel doesn't ride on how strong we are. It shines brightest when we're weak. And when we bring all of who we are, awkwardness and all, and let him work through it, that will be accomplished. The gospel isn't emptied of its power when we keep it simple. It's actually revealed that way. It's not our job to impress people. It's our job to invite them. The power is not in the performance. It's in the message. So if you're feeling like your words don't measure up, remember, neither did Paul's. And he admitted it. He owned it. He said, I didn't come with eloquence. I came with the cross. And brothers and sisters, the cross always measures up. All right, y'all. You've been listening to Voice and Vine. As you go, may the vine keep you, and may his voice grow something new in you. Brothers and sisters, until next time, abide, speak, bear fruit.